Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days should be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Many people have been puzzled over that verse 34. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. This last week, we went to our annual camp out in Arkansas. Thank the Lord, we have perfect weather. We got a good area reserved. We had lots of fun and fellowship. Beautiful scenery. You know, fun within God's boundaries makes pleasant memories, builds friendships, and refreshes the soul. Proverbs 10:22 says, The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it, no regrets. While we were there, we met a couple of atheists. Professing themselves to be wise, they only reveal that they were fools. While the one who was a ranger mocked the foolishness of people who didn't observe the obvious signs and instructions posted for camping and safety. His famous quote, which I heard him say many times, those wacky tourists. They simply needed to pay attention to what was obvious, in his opinion. Yet he denied that there is an intelligent design in creation and thus a creator. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. We took a little walk with the little ones, my wife and Hannah Margaret and our little ones, and I took a little walk along the riverbank. As we were walking along, there was rocks everywhere, beautiful scenery. As we were walking along, there was a circle made with rocks. Rocks set in a perfect circle. Design. Well, there was design all around us. Beautiful design. But this was too complex to have happened by the water current. Water currents don't do that. That was obviously done by an intelligent person. Raccoons don't do that. The deer, other animals don't do that. So I pointed it out to them and I said, so did this just happen? We didn't see anybody do this. There's no evidence to be had except the design. And we can see that and we can say a person did that. But our professed intelligent ranger who expects everybody to read all the little signs and do exactly what they say so they fill out the right forms and pay for their camps properly and don't fall over cliffs and don't drown and so forth. You know, if they follow the things that are obvious, common sense. Of course, they are just evolved animals. But I don't know why he expects so much of them. He wouldn't expect that much of the animals that he talks about. While we were out there by the river, I found a watch. I found a sock. I knew that they didn't grow out there. I knew there was a designer. We saw a copperhead. Beautiful design on that snake, which really didn't prove any purpose. It certainly didn't camouflage him in the water or on the rock, but it was beauty, which has no purpose in evolution. We saw an armadillo. We saw a couple of those. One was rather flat on the road. I saw a deer track in the sand. I knew that that didn't just happen in the sand because of the design. These two atheists were old and alone. Their dysfunctional beliefs robbed them of the joys that we were experiencing. Amen. We followed the instruction book given by the designer. We acknowledged it. And we lived our lives within the boundaries of that instruction book. And we had things that they only dreamed of. We visited with this ranger a year ago. Same guy was there. He told us then a little bit about his family scene. Basically, his wife, they're divorced. His children went with his wife. So because of his dysfunctional thinking, his rejection of his father, he has reaped exactly what he has sown. He as a father has been rejected and disregarded. The other atheist was a man who was there camping all by himself. No grandkids around him, no wife, no large, you know, group to he was there by himself. We've met some Mormons. My wife was able to talk with these Mormon girls. And paying attention would have helped them as well. If the atheists had simply paid attention to what was obvious, like they expected everybody else to do, these Mormons could have been helped by the same thing. Professing themselves to be wise, they got caught in the devil's sticky trap. Simple obedience to God's word would have led them to the truth. But they elevated some fool's plagiarism above the Word of God. If they had followed what the Bible said about scriptural dress, head covering, and holy living, it would have directed them away from that sticky trap. If they had obeyed the Bible when it says, contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints, it would have totally delivered them from that sticky trap. false teacher, false prophet. There's no way that you can be a Mormon and contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Because that word means once for all delivered to the saints. Okay? And that faith was delivered, and the saints are it's obvious who the saints were. The apostles were the caretakers of the faith. Okay? And so we are to contend for that faith. And Morani had a different one. If they had just paid attention to Bible doctrine, it would have delivered them from that. Just believing and obeying God's word carefully can save us from a lot of error. Attention to common sense would also help. The Book of Mormon purports to be an ancient record of Christ appearing and preaching to people in the Americas in a way He didn't even preach to the Jews and Gentiles in Israel or any other Gentile land. There was Gentile lands all around where Jews were residing. He didn't go appear to them, but somehow He came and appeared to a bunch of the Nephites and Lamanites in America. The book says it's another testament of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, which obviously the Book of Mormon is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received from us, the apostles, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Okay, there. Simple acknowledgement and obedience to a simple verse of Scripture would deliver anyone from Mormonism if they would just pay attention.
That's right.
And there's many other, I mean, the Book of Mormon, when I was in high school, a girl gave me the Book of Mormon. I didn't have to read very far or look very far to realize this is a hoax. I didn't even know all the facts that prove it to be a hoax at that time. But I knew that if a man in the 1800s translated some ancient Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, that he translated them into English, he would have translated them into the English he spoke. The English he knew. He would not have translated them into Elizabethan English.
Right.
Unless he was plagiarizing the King James Bible and trying to make it sound like Scripture. And the fact is, it was Mr. Spaulding who was trying to make it sound like Scripture and admitted it. He wrote a romance about the same thing with the same names, Nephite, Lamanite, the same names. Joseph Smith plagiarized it. And Mr. Spaulding admitted that he made it sound like Scripture to give it that special effect, you know, these and thous and shalt and whithersoever and all these words that were Elizabethan English. It was natural for the King James translators to translate that, okay, at that time. But in the 1800s, that was not the English being spoken, nor would it have, I mean, obvious. It's a hoax. Not only that, but it's amazing how many Scriptures were quoted directly carried over from the King James translation of the Bible that were things that Nephite and Lamanite could not have known because they were in America during the times when these prophets were saying these things. They went over there 600 B.C., okay, and some at the Tower of Babel. But six Jaredites went over the Tower of Babel. The Nephites went over 600 B.C. Okay, so all the prophets after Nephi left, he could not have known their writings because he was in the Americas, not around the time. And so, I mean, there's so many things that just show it to be a big hoax. Paying attention helps. We met a lost world. And realize how fortunate anyone is to be raised in a Christian home. Darkness out there is really dark. Their lost condition is really lost. The lady my wife spoke to, sad to see just how utterly lost and ignorant of the truth they really are. But, again, paying attention would make all the difference. Because there is a little bit of light in their hearts left over from the fact that they were created in the image of God. They have a conscience.
Yes.
This innate moral law is still there, showing the work of God's law written in the hearts of even the heathen, while their thoughts accuse or excuse one another, showing that there's some light still in there. There's some understanding of truth and righteousness and right and wrong still in there. And when you talk about their sins, they don't confuse it with their righteousness. They know what you're talking about. When you say you have sins, their mind goes places that are sins. Okay? They know. And if they would decide to love righteousness and walk in that little bit of light of God's law that's in there still, if they would choose right and decide to do what they know is right, it would lead them to God.
That's right.
So in every area of life, paying attention really helps. Now, we're going to have a little Bible study this morning. And this matter of paying attention, I think, will answer. As I read through these chapters, this verse was, you know, it's where the full preterism comes from, believing that all was fulfilled in AD 70. Well, as I decided to read carefully through this chapter and pay close attention to the wording, a lot there was things that just popped out at me. It's like, oh, no kidding, duh. And so I want to share some of that with you this morning. I only printed, I think, I don't know if there's 25 here or not. The printer started acting up after a while. But make sure every adult gets one of those. And then from there, young people that can read and so forth. I'm going to give you a key to understanding this verse that has seemed to trouble so many. Okay? And in doing so, I want to write down a couple things. The confusion is over. Matthew 24:34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Mark 13:30. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Luke 21. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Now, you need to understand there's some categories here. These things do not equal it or the end. Okay? They're not equal. And you're going to see, I've highlighted these in different colors. Give me, got one of those left? Yeah. At the top there. Okay, yeah, it's same as over here. Right? I highlighted these things in yellow. It, the end, and Christ's return in gray. And then I want you to notice that the terms come to pass, be fulfilled, be done. They're all from the same Greek word. And you know, when there is a doctrinal discourse, it really would help sometimes if the translators were not worried about beauty as much as they were about understanding. There's different ways. The King James translators stated in their translating directives that if there was a one word over and over and over used, that they tried to find synonyms to make it more beautiful. And that's great, as long as everybody understands that these are synonyms. An example of this, quickly, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Sounds really pretty, but they're all the same word. They just use different, they use synonyms to make it sound pretty. Well, that's fine, as long as you understand it's the same word. In John 15, is another place where he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean, Purge and clean are the same word. And it would really help people's train of thought if they would have translated it the same, in my opinion. He cleanseth it. And now you're clean. I think that would help people to carry through. But purging it, a lot of people think of pruning. He's not talking about pruning. He's talking about cleansing. Anyways. So, it's important to understand that come to pass, be fulfilled, be done are the same Greek word, and they're used in the sense of happen. Okay? Now, if you follow through the chapter the way I've laid this out, I'm going to read through more than what you've got there. But what you've got there is basically the verses that matter. Let's begin reading in Matthew 24, 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Two different things. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. They must happen. But the end is not yet. Okay? Now, if the word come to pass means that they must be completed, but the end is not yet, then what's in between? Okay? It means that they're going to happen. This is going to be happening before the end comes. Okay? In verse 13 of that chapter, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's what's going to be happening. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then he goes into talking about what things are going to be happening. Okay? And then, verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves. That's talking about these things. You know that summer, or that's referring to the end, is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it, what's it, the end, is near, even at the doors. Verily I send you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled, or are happening, come to pass. Same word. Doesn't mean that they'll all be completed. Because that's not the sense in which he's using it. Okay? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's talking about the end. His coming. Therefore, and from there on he's talking about the end. But it's important to understand that if you follow his train of thought and use the words as he used them, he is not saying that this generation will not pass till I return. Right. He's saying that this generation shall not pass until all these things are happening. And that's exactly the case. The tribulation spoken of, the persecution, the gospel going out into all the world, the love of many waxing cold, all that was happening, AD 70 was still there. The destruction of Jerusalem, which is the tribulation he's talking about, which is obvious when you read Luke. Okay? So, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the Jewish people, that tribulation was greater than anything that had come upon that nation before. And all that happened in that generation. But the end didn't. Okay? Turn to Mark 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these buildings? It's on your sheet there too. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? The destruction of the temple is what they're referring to. And what should be the sign when all these things should be fulfilled or be happening? And Jesus answering them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And we shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. Okay? So, these things being fulfilled, coming to pass, means that they are happening. Such things must needs be. They will be happening. Okay? That's what the words mean. Verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils and the synagogues. You shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Then verse 13, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end. There's two different things spoken of here. These things and the end, or it. Verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Obviously, we're talking about the end now. Okay? And then shall he send his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Okay? If you've ever gone through a spring and you see the branch showing its, you know, bringing forth a tenderness, a new shoots, and the leaves start to bud, you know that summer is nigh. And you also know that as these things, the branch and the leaves, as they mature, summer is coming closer. Right? Okay. He says here, and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Summer referring to what he's talking about, the end. All right? So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, same word as fulfilled, happening, know that it is nigh, even at the door. So when these things come to pass, it is near. Which means come to pass doesn't mean totally be over with. It means they're happening. Okay? Because it's not there, it's near. Let's see here. Summer is near. So likewise, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Be done is the same as come to pass and fulfilled. It means, if they had translated it all consistently, it means till you see these things. Because, if you notice, it says, and when ye shall see these things come to pass, be done. Be happening. Know that it is nigh. So, it's the same exact Greek word. So, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done, or be happening, or you see these things. Okay? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day, talking about the end, and that hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time of the end is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So, we're talking about two different things. These things, and we're talking about it, or the end. Two different things. Now, that generation did not pass before these things were all in operation. The destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, persecutions, all those things were in full operation in that generation, just like Jesus said. But the end was was not there. Now, turn to Luke 21. It fits in every single situation. Luke 21, verse 6. As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, the destruction? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? So when will these things be happening? He answered, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. They must first be happening. But the end is not by and by. Okay? So we're talking about two different things. The end is something that is not by and by. It's near. When you see these things, know that it is near, but it's not there yet. So these things will be happening. There's not, what come to pass, as I said before, does not mean completely done. Otherwise, there would be a big gap in there of nothing. Okay? Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. That happened in that generation. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. All these things were happening in the first century. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Same thing he spoke of in Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem and the tribulation thereof. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Now, the reason that you don't want your flight to be on the Sabbath day, or in the winter. Because when you tried to flee Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, under the laws of the day, you could be in big trouble. You're only supposed to travel on the Sabbath day a very short distance. Okay? It has no application to people living in America, and people try to apply Matthew 24 to some tribulation here. It's talking about a geographical location. For these, verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Okay, all the things written against Jerusalem, no doubt. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Okay, not, this isn't the 7-year trib that people talk about. This is talking about a locale. This people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, which is exactly what happened 38 years later, from what Jesus, he spoke of this. About 38 years later, that's what happened. They'll be led away into all nations, and Jerusalem, now listen to this, Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, that is a large span of time after that tribulation. Okay, now listen to him closely. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is after Jerusalem is destroyed, so it's not talking about Titus and the Roman legions, okay? It's talking of, and this is after it's trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which could be a great span of time, and we know now that it was. Now, verse 28, when these things began to come to pass, you hear that? Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Same thing we've heard in all the other ones. When these things are in operation, you better be paying attention. All right? So when the destruction of Jerusalem began to come to pass, when the persecution began to come to pass, when all these things began to come to pass, he said, realize that the bud is maturing. The leaves are sprouting. Summer is coming. Pay attention. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Because these things are happening. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, or be happening, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Alright, which proves that the kingdom of God is not here now as the church, in the sense he's speaking of here. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Now, obviously he's saying the same thing that he said in the other synonymous Gospels. Alright? This generation shall not pass till all these things be happening. It's the same thing he said in every other place. Same parable, same everything. But the preterists, the full preterists, we would be considered partial preterists because we believe that Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 are speaking of, yes, they're speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, but they're speaking of more than that. They're speaking of more than these things. They're also speaking of the end. Okay? And there's a definite distinction in Jesus' words if you follow Him all the way through. So, the kingdom of God is nigh when you see, when this, in this first generation there, in that first generation, all these things came into effect and were happening, and so they were to watch. They were to be sober. They were to pay attention because they knew that it was nigh at hand. They don't know how close. In one place he said it's not by and by, but it's coming. It's near. And so there has never been a theological issue that has been presented to me, but what paying attention to the words of Scripture has answered and solved. The predestination issue, Calvinism, eternal security, the Sabbath issue, the preterist issue, the Mormon issue, the atheist issue, the evolution issue, all these issues, if you would go to the Word of God and read carefully, paying attention to what's being said, there's answers. There's solutions. As you can see, there have been people arguing over what Jesus meant in that verse for hundreds of years. Some believe that this generation refers to the Jewish people as a distinct nation. Well, that would also fit. Because God has preserved them through all these things until the end. Okay, but the other people say, no, he meant this generation, this generation of people living today. It fits perfectly. Because the fact is, according to the usage of his terms, if they're translated the same every time with the same usage, it just simply means that that first generation will see all these things come into effect and be happening. And they did. They did. And if you understand that we're not talking about some future 7-year tribulation period, which is, see, you've got people over here arguing against people over here. They see their error and they see their error, but the truth is right here. And so the Baptists with their 7-year tribulation period and trying to take Matthew 24 and all this into some future Antichrist tribulation period, the preterists say, we know that's a bunch of nonsense. Okay? And the Baptists say, well, we know what you're saying is not true either. Well, you're right. Both of them are false. The truth is what we just saw this morning. These things do not equal the end. There's two separate categories of what he's referring to in all three of those synoptic gospels. And so, let me encourage you to pay attention. It'll save you a lot of trouble. Those atheists, all they have to do is pay attention. They don't want to come to any other conclusion. So they don't pay attention. The Mormons want to believe in Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon, Mormon, Moroni, Nephi. They want to believe that this really happened, so they're not paying attention. The lost people want to believe that everything's going to be okay, so they're not paying attention. There's a lot of things in life. I see. You see your child. You see him go out there and jump on their little bike, and they head down the road. And they turn their head and they're watching something else. You know, they're going to crash. Bad things are going to happen. Why? They're not paying attention. We see our young people. It's so easy for young people to run on emotion, to run, to just think that everything's going to assume everything's going to be fine, and go out there and charge into life and cross over boundaries. And we look and we say, wait, you're not paying attention. Have you thought about what this is going to produce in 5 years? Where are you going to be in 5 years? Are you paying attention? What is going on? What are you shooting for? What are your goals? Why are you acting this way? Where is this going to lead and what's it going to do in your life? Atheists become atheists because they're unwilling to pay attention to honor boundaries. You know, it was impressed on my mind so strongly this last week. And I mentioned it that the message, only by pride cometh contention. That we could all get along perfectly, have a wonderful time, no regrets, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, he addeth no sorrow with it, if we simply follow the boundaries and respect the boundaries, walk humbly, and, you know, it was impressed upon me that beautiful things happen. Relationships are built, families are drawn closer, brethren are drawn closer, everything is beautiful and proper when you just pay attention to God's boundaries. When you don't blunder through. When you don't trample. And it was also impressed upon me how sad and dark and foolish it can be when people don't pay attention. We here at Living Faith Christian Fellowship, where do we go from here? We've made it this far. Look at all these young people. Look at all these little children. Young men, young ladies. Look at the marriages. Look at the homes. It's a beautiful thing if we continue to pay attention. If we continue to pay close attention to what is actually said and what was actually meant and what God really wants for us to do, and we're willing to pay attention. You know, the upcoming elections. Is America paying attention? I hope so. Sometimes I wonder. They don't pay attention in any other area, it seems like. May God help us. Help us to be the people who pay attention. Help us to be the people who are thinking. You know, a lot of people get to where they are. The atheist gets to where he is on an anti-platform. I don't want to believe in God, so he ends up over here. He can't defend this position. It's a stupid position. It's a ignorant position. But he's there because he doesn't want to be over here. Because he has some bias against that. The same happens in politics. The same happens in areas. You know, there's young people who got to get away from mom and dad's rules, so they do what? They join the military. They don't want to obey God's laws. They don't want to be this way, so they spring over. They're not paying attention. They're just, all they're paying attention to is where they don't want to be, or they got to be different, or they got to go a different direction to be unique, to show that I'm an individual, therefore I'm going to go this way, which is what everybody else is doing. We need to pay attention. Let's stand together. It has never failed me once. From the time I was a teenager, I've been confronted with all sorts of different questions and concepts about the Bible. And I have learned that by going to the Scriptures, by reading carefully, we were going through this in our family Bible time about tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And if you just pay attention closely to what's being said, it's totally different than what the Azusa Street people, the Pentecostal movement, the Charism, all that stuff, all they're doing is violating what is said. By professing to uphold it, they're violating it left and right. The Apostle Paul laid down rules that puts them out of business and exposes them as fakes. And those rules they're taking and using as their doctrine, but they're twisting and changing and they're not paying attention. Fathers, the reason the Bible says when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. In other words, they weren't paying attention. Are we paying attention? If suddenly your wife dropped dead of a heart attack and you realized how you had taken her for granted, you know what you would say? I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't appreciating what I had. I didn't pay attention to all that she did. I didn't realize what a big hole would be left when she was gone. You wives, if suddenly your husband dropped dead of a heart attack, would things look different to you? Would you realize that I was living, but I really wasn't focused on what, I wasn't paying attention? Young people, It is part of the illumination of the Holy Spirit to allow you to live with your eyes open. Jesus talked about the peoples whose ears were dull, their hearts waxed gross, their eyes they had closed. What does that mean? That means they're not paying attention. And therefore He could do nothing for them. A lack of appreciation for what God is doing, what God has done, is simply this problem. Eve would not have been stumbled if she'd been paying attention. We need to stop running through life everywhere you look. This is the problem. Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?
Well, it's the devil's goal to get us to stop paying attention. And the moment he can do that, no amount of past attention that we've paid is going to deliver us.
Right.
Because he's got a snare that'll ensnare us. So we dare never rest from our watchfulness, because that's when we fall.
The ranger was sharing with us all the stories of how many people fall over the cliffs and get drowned yearly. So unnecessary. A man, you know, there's one prominent rock outcropping over a big valley that you, if you go online at Arkansas, this is a picture that comes up quite often. I think it's called a beak, some kind of beak or bill or something. Anyways, it comes out like this over, and you can walk out, and I mean, you're out over hundreds of feet of drop off, okay? And the rocks hang out. We saw the cliffs down there. It wouldn't be hard to picture that. A guy's out there taking a picture of his wife. He's looking through the camera. He says, "Step back a little farther." She falls over the edge. He say, "Weren't you paying attention?" Another, story after story, people who go kayaking, canoeing, and they go rent the equipment, and they've never done it before. And they don't talk to any experienced guide. They just go out there assuming they know what's going to happen. And they end up, somebody ends up drowning. Get caught in the rapids under a ball of roots that a tree fell over. They're coming down the rapids and they get sucked under there and people die. I mean, life is not to be taken lightly. Wisdom has to do with being alert. Thinking about what you're doing and where it leads. I want to encourage Living Faith Christian Fellowship. We can't just live. We can't just believe. You need to know your Bible. And you need to pay attention. Let's pray.